Today on an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online that could possibly work as good as a laxative, we hear real people, in their own words, describe chilling encounters with the dead. If you have a real ghost story, call it in right now at 855-853-4802. Buckle up, Buttercup. This is the number one paranormal podcast in the land. I mean crap. Tony and Harper brought me back from the dead just to read these damn headlines. So it must be good. And I have to say, I was plenty happy on the other side. Thanks a lot, you idiots. Anyway, get ready for Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You trying to do my part there?
Yes.
You gotta signal me if you're going to do that.
You can't, I did.
I was looking at the computer over here. You got to do that. Anyway, welcome to the program. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. It's all commercial free. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, literally, not just a slogan or something like that. We literally have created that over the last 10 years. I guess it's something I never thought I'd set out to do, but I ended up doing it. Just one day I'm like, crap. Oh my gosh. I looked at all the hours and hours and hours and hours and thousands of hours of audio of ghost stories. I'm like, I think we did something interesting here. And there you go. It's all for you guys to binge away on at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon. And the Patreon app, search Real Ghost Stories Online, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to all of that. That's what helps keep the show on the air and keeps it afloat. And eventually will help pay for your college education as well. So
yeah.
Just think of that. Think of our happy little redhead here getting educated because you're supporting the ghost podcast that you listen to every single day.
I thought that I could pay for my own college education based off of my own paycheck.
Well, you understand that paycheck comes from this. So that has to come here first. And then, yes, that can be funded.
Yeah.
So that's how that works. So I can't just like pull it off of a tree and be like, here's the money.
But what's money made out of?
Trees. But good luck getting although who the hell knows anymore? You could go tell somebody that a tree in our yard is an NFT and it's worth so much money. And who knows? Maybe someone will pay $10,000 for a $30 tree we bought from Lowe's.
It better not be my mulberry tree.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's I don't understand anything anymore. But that's the world we live in. Yes, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I think our dog, Sting specifically, has some anger issues.
Mainly because he has these like little baby dog plushies.
Mm-hmm.
He completely destroys them.
No, he's usually really good with them for a while. And then he moves on to something better. So today, I was here, you were at school, and we were in the house. And I hear him, he usually doesn't go upstairs by himself, but he went upstairs. And he's rummaging at something. I think your door was open. And he comes downstairs with a little rabbit, a stuffed rabbit. And it's about the size of these other little dogs that you've given him. And so he thinks it's about the same thing. I'm like, no, I don't know if you can have that. And so I put it up somewhere where he can't have it. I said, where's your baby? Because I call it his baby because he carries these little dogs around that look like him. And he's very vocal about it. He's like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And he makes these noises. I'm like, where's your baby, Sting? Where's your baby? And he shows me and he's all proud of it. Like he's getting excited right now. And he's usually really gentle with him. And he usually tears everything up as far as plush toys that we give him. And he did not tear this thing up for weeks, but he found that rabbit. And I think he wanted that rabbit and he didn't get it. And so I'm like, let's go to the office, Sting. I got to work. And he comes in here with me. Oh, there's your baby. And he picks it up right away and he's all happy. I start working over here. He's laying in the corner. I'm not really paying attention to him because I'm working over here. And I look over And it's just a big pile of fuzz and foam, and he ripped the thing apart. Like, your baby, what did you do to it? And he just looks up at me like, so I don't know. It's like, you get sick of your babies, and then you, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know if he's like listening to me in here recording the true crime podcast, Dark Side Of, or True Crime Today, which you can get if you download podcasts anywhere, just search Dark Side Of. And he's heard of all, it's honestly, it's been a string of just horrible parent stories recently of people doing horrible things to their children. I don't know if he's getting ideas from that.
Oh my Lord. We need to exorcism my dog.
No, here's, you want to add to that? You're not even, because, okay, Harper does not listen to the true crime show. But here's the deal. Recently, if you listen to The Dark Side Of, which you can get wherever you download podcasts, and me and Carol host it, and Stacey Cole, my other co-host on there, there's been a lot of stories recently of people trying to perform exorcisms on their children. I swear to God, it's like a weekly thing.
Oh, my Lord.
And the kids die. Because they're doing, they're like holding the children down and basically suffocating them, like smothering them, trying to get the evil spirits out. And it's horrible. And the people that, like, they're like, there's this one this other week that was like, why did you do that? Well, I'm not going to focus on the negative here. You know, what's done is done. It is what it is. Like, how would you ever say that about your child that you just killed in a faux exorcism at your church behind the Cinnabon at the closed down mall? And that's literally what we're talking about. Like, some of these churches that are like 25 people that perform their own exorcisms and eat snakes or something. It's like, it's crazy, crazy stuff. And he's been in here for a lot of that. So I'm wondering if he's like, I'm going to do an exorcism on my little puppy dog over here. You never know. You never know.
Stinks.
He was using a Ouija board earlier with Buddy, our other dog. They had their paws on the planchette and they were moving it around.
What did it spill out?
Woof. Woof, woof. I still don't understand what it meant, but it said woof. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We, of course, would love to hear them. We do greatly appreciate all of those calls and, of course, your support if you're an EPP. Let's go to a phone call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Tony, Todd, Harper, and Carol. I hope you're all doing well and life is good for you all. This will be the third time I'm calling in. I called in about the Black Moon Manor and the hair people. So this did not happen directly to me, but I was there in the proximity of what was going on, and I thought I'd share it. So this was about 20 years ago, and I was dating this guy and his sister, and I'll call her Kathy. She had moved back to town, and anyway, she had purchased this house, and her boyfriend, I'll call him Randy, moved in. And this house was only one owner, and the woman had a daycare, and unfortunately the man had passed away, and it was going to be their dream home, and because of his passing she couldn't stay there, and so she had to sell, and it was a big farmland, she had to sell the home and the farm, and they were building it from the foundation up. And it looked kind of like a castle. It's very unique. And I'm not talking the brick mortar type of castle. I mean, just the shapes. And it had a big octagon room on the side with a steeple to it. And it would leave you in awe if you seen it. Anyway, so Kathy and Randy were buying this house. And now the woman, like I said, she had a daycare. And the whole front of the room, the front room, which I guess you would consider like a living room, but, or a great room, took about the whole length of the front of the house. So it's pretty darn big. And so they had all the daycare stuff in there until the lady could come and pick it up. But otherwise, Kathy and Randy could move in. And because the couple, the original couple, buying the house, or I'm sorry, building the house, they were working on it slowly, and it was just them two. There were three levels, and the first level was about 90% done. The second level had been started on, but the third level of the house had not. And this is pretty big. There are going to be quite a few bedrooms, and I think like five bedrooms and three bathrooms. And it was all uniquely made. The couple went out and bought all of this stuff from different sales. The wood flooring wasn't just the typical wood flooring like you buy at Lowe's or Menards. It was had etching on it. and there will be a reason why I'm bringing this up later in the story. But and so a lot of it was antique, stuff like that. So they're bringing in a lot of items to make it a very unique to the house, but also from other people. So Kathy and Randy had lived there, I think, a couple months, and we were talking, and she was saying how that they were hearing these sounds. Now, Kathy and Randy hadn't lived here long. They did a long time ago, but not now. And so, you know, to us, we're like, oh, what's the sound of the house settling, and it's the farmland, and there's coyotes out here. Maybe you're hearing raccoons and all this kind of stuff. So it wasn't brought up again until her children came to visit. They were somewhat grown. They were in their early 20s, and they came to visit, and we're all at a dinner, eating dinner, and they started talking about these sounds. And they're saying, yeah, I'm hearing footsteps, and they're really heavy and loud, and then there's all these other sounds, like a thud and this tinkling type of sound, you know, like wind chimes, but without the actual chime, musical sounds. So, listening to them talk about it, I realized, oh, hey, well, the guy was working on the house at the time of his passing. So we all started gathering our thoughts and realized that, you know, the heavy sounds they're hearing are the heavy boots, work boots. And the thud that they're hearing, we think, had something to do with the tool belt and the hammer that's in the loop on the tool belt. You know, you have the wooden hammer handle, and then you have the hammer head. And then the tinkling sounds they're hearing, was it nails and screws? So we started putting all this together and realized, oh, we think it's the original owner. Maybe he's still here and he's working on the house, along with Kathy and Randy working on the house. So they didn't feel threatened, and like I said, this had been quite a few months. Nothing had ever bothered them. It was the same sounds weekly, not nightly. So they just let it be. And then one day, and this had been about 6 months at this time, or a little over 6 months, that she's telling me this. She goes, you know, I'm really concerned. There's something different. So she shows me, and there's crown marks on the walls. And we're talking not just one color. We're talking red and black and white, yellow, purple. And they were about anywhere between 3 to 4 foot high. So like child size. Now, no children had died in this house. This, the only one that had passed away was the owner. And Kathy and Randy do not have small children. There's no grandchildren. There's no crowns, because when the lady came to get all her daycare stuff, we all helped clean, and we cleaned every crevice of that house. And so there's no crowns to be found. So we did look, and no crowns. So she started getting concerned, and they were scribble marks on the walls, like scratch marks with the crowns, and scribble like circles, and no drawings like flowers or animals or anything. Well, I had a best friend at that time. She has since passed, and her name is Donna. And Donna was she was the president of a paranormal society. Now they're not the ones that went and ghost hunted. She would put this together. She had events, she had meetings, all that. And each person had something to bring at these society events. And for instance, they had a tarot card reader. They had one that could read your aura. They had a lady that could read colors, like you pick colors. And actually, Rob Conover, if you know that name, he was part of the America's Most Haunted show. He was there. I got to meet him. So, so nice. Such a grounded, good guy he was. And so I asked Donna, because she kind of had that new agey way of doing things. She did tarot cards. She did Reiki. And I think she had a little sense of, she was a little sensitive to things as well. She could sense them somewhat. So Donna did come over, and let me tell you, Donna is kind of a shorter lady, and she reminded me a little bit of the stature of the lady from the Poltergeist. You know, she's walking around, she's exploring, she's short, but she's sensing things. She wanted us to let her do her thing. So we just stayed downstairs, Kathy and I, and let her walk around the house and take it all in. She looked at the drawings, and she did say, when she was all done, she said there were different feelings in many different areas. She goes, some were just the house. Some rooms were just the house. But there were other rooms that there were different feelings, some heavier, some lighter, some felt safe, some felt unusual. I'm not really sure what that means, but she knew what she was talking about. So she said she had some sage, and I guess she had some other burning item. I don't know what it was. And she did. She walked back through the house. She said a few chants. I'm not sure what they were. And she said, well, we'll see if that helps. I hope it helps. So then a couple weeks later, Kathy gets in touch with me, and she said, you know, she goes, it all stopped. She said the crown mark stopped. She said, I don't hear that man clomping around. I don't hear his tool bell. I don't hear anything. And so I told Donna, and she was quite pleased. And she's like, oh, that makes me feel so great that I could help someone and that I had the means to do it. And but it was just a great experience, because I guess this guy, he wasn't upset about them working on the house. Maybe he just wanted to help them. Now, we're this crown and child, possibly. We don't know what that was about, but we don't believe it was harmful, and neither was the man. But I don't know. Anyway, it ended where later on, nothing ever happened. Kathy and Randy ended up selling the house, and I've never heard of any other events from that house from other people that have owned it. And I do believe it finally got finished. The castle-like fixture or structure. And it anyway, I just want to share this with you. I thought it was a really unique story, and a good story that maybe they found their home. They went where they were supposed to be. And I hope you all have a great day. Thank you for all you do. I love this forum. I love all the stories, the personalities on there, in the stories as well. So you all take care.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us.
It almost kind of comes down to me thinking about, like, this is someone else's home. Do you really want to get rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
But another question I have about it is, does it say it just silence it and they're still there? Or does it completely get rid of them?
That's a question I've always wondered about with sage. You know, like, I don't know, like, why. I would think, like, is sage something that works more against, like, dark spirits, or does it work? I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I was a ghost haunting a house and someone said, you know, hey, you know, please lay off, don't freak me out, I would probably do it, maybe. I don't think sage would make me stop if I was the ghost. I would think the sage is more so like a spiritual thing, more of a good versus evil. That's kind of how I take sage.
And why sage specifically?
Like, I don't
where
know.
Where did that lore come from?
I don't know. And I ask this to people all the time, and they would say, well, it's about intent. I'm like, so I could walk around the house and I could be burning basil, or I could be burning catnip or whatever, you know? And like, if my intent, I'm walking around the house and I'm saying, go away. And I'm whatever, you know, I'm praying or I'm doing whatever spiritual, you know, thing I'm doing. It doesn't matter, I guess. I don't know why it's sage.
So you could burn, like, pasta?
I don't know. I'm like, would it work with Thanksgiving? Because there's a lot of sage, like in stuffing and stuff. Like, if I like make that turkey and stuffing and it smells like sage, I'm like, can I be like, I'm walking around eating stuffing? Because I would totally do that on like after Thanksgiving, especially when everybody's gone. And it's like,
you have that energy left over. They just kind of want to get rid of.
And it's like 9:30 at night and everybody's gone. And you're like, there's good stuffing in that fridge. And you go make another plate of crap. And it's not crap, but it's delicious. And it's horrible for you because you eat so much. You already eat a bunch during the day. You're like, oh, but I want more. This is me. I always want more stuffing. Stuffing is my favorite.
Stuffing is amazing.
And so I'm like, could I just walk around with like the stuffing and just be like,
the power of Christ compels you. The power of
Christ. You make the stuffing in like a crucifix on a plate. You walk around with a crucifix of stuffing. And that seems like totally like sacrilegious. But, like, would it do the same thing? Because it's the intent. If I was a ghost, I'd be like, hell yeah, I want some of that stuffing. But I don't know.
Or, like, do you bribe the ghost to stop? Like, I'll give you some of this stuffing if you leave me alone.
And there's different theories on that with, like, ghosts and food. Because it's a lot of cultures, when they talk about spirits, they have things where it's like they leave out offerings to the dead of food. And there's been stories here where people have, the theory is, if they, you know, because they can kind of move through things, apparently, if they're going in there, like, they don't actually consume the food, but they kind of go over it, you know, like transparently, and then maybe they taste it. I don't know. That would be a really, that's a big question I have about being dead and being a ghost. Can you taste things? Because I love tasting things. Food is my thing. And that would really suck if it's like an eternal cold. Like, if a cold, like when I'm stuffed up and I have a cold, I can't taste anything. Somebody's like, COVID, you can't taste food. I'm like, I can't taste food when I have a cold. Like, that's what I've always hated about having a cold.
I know.
So it's like, that's nothing new to me. But I don't know. There's just so many questions about this stuff. And I'll do my best to give you answers if I kick it before you, which I hopefully do.
If I was a ghost, I'd probably eat other people's food.
I would too.
Like, I just float around to restaurants as my little hobby, sneak into the kitchen.
If you're not going
to
put on weight, I'd just be sitting in the Taco Bell drive-thru for a long time. Or Arby's or something like that. I'd be like, yeah. I don't know.
And ghostly drive the car.
Mm-hmm.
Appear as something.
I don't know. I would, if I could, I'd like to get into like the, like some of the digital signs and such, and change the letters and just screw with people, especially on the highways where they have like stupid sayings. And it's like, our tax dollars spent how much for a large sign to say, buckle up? It's like, here's the news to everyone. The person who's driving down the road and sees the buckle up sign, if they're not already buckled up, they're not going to buckle up. That sign's not going to convince you to not or to buckle up if you're not already buckled up. And that's like, there's so many areas with signs like this. And I used to understand like where it used to be, you know, this way is a delay there or there. But so many times it's just fruitless messages. And God knows how much those signs cost. It's like tax dollars at work. Bravo, government. I don't know.
Like, what would you make them say?
I don't know.
I would probably make them say, yeah.
I would probably freak people out. I'd be like, Satan, dead ahead. You know, something horrible. That would be like, we just put like a bunch of 666. It's like they're driving under 6. Like, what is that about? I don't know. Something that would just screw with people. Like, it really doesn't equate to anything that's coming up on the road, but it would just be very like scary if you drove over it.
I'd screw with the Taco Bell menu stuff to make their like be amazing deals. Wait, nacho fries now permanently.
It's like 40 cents for nacho fries. And they'll be like, what the hell? And nacho fries are $10 now because of inflation. But yeah, I was seeing something on the news today about buffalo wings. And there's just because number one, for whatever reason, there's a shortage on them as of the time of this recording.
Maybe buffaloes are going extinct.
You do realize buffalo wings are not made out of buffaloes, right?
I know, I'm just making a joke, okay?
I got a story for you on that. Oh, let me finish this story first. because they're more scarce to find in a restaurant capacity. You can find them in the grocery store if you're a consumer, but at a restaurant capacity from like Sysco and things like that, there's a shortage for whatever reason. And there's some places now where it's like $25 for like six buffalo wings. And it's like, oh, this is lovely. But I got a story on the buffalo wings. Okay, so first girl that I had a serious relationship with, I remember, and she was super nice. We were young. We were dumb. We were like 18, 19 at the time. I remember we were driving with my parents, and my dad made the joke. We were driving past some buffalo. He's like, oh, there's some buffalo. Those are the ones without the wings. She's like, oh, really? Where are the ones with the wings? And she was serious. And she was a fairly bright girl. But it was like, are you serious? But like nobody, I don't know. It was just kind of one of those, you're young, you're dumb moments, and you don't realize some things. You'll have those. Maybe not buffalo wings for you, honey. But there's going to be things that'll be funny. When you're like 18, 19, 20, and even early 20s, there's little nuggets of information, and I try to prepare you for like everything, but some things I'm just going to miss unintentionally, and you'll miss too. And it'll be things that you should have picked up through childhood that you just didn't for whatever reason. It was just never discussed. It was never part of the context of anything going on. And then somebody will bring it up and you'll say like the dumbest thing. And you'll be like, they'll be looking at you like, huh? What do you, you have those moments and those years because you miss some things. And it's funny. It's embarrassing at the time. But you look back on it and it's like, oh my God, like, how did I not know that? But it's as you grow, it's weird. And I did a lot of that too, where it's like, I was so focused on this or that, that I missed a lot of the nuances of things around me. But that was my funny buffalo wing story. So let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is B, and I am from Flin Flon, Manitoba. Love the show. Just started listening. Okay. So I want to tell you about some weird events that took place in my house about 3 years ago. So it all started when I had decorated my house for Christmas. I found this cute little golden reindeer decoration with jingle bells on the inside at a thrift store. So I put it on my wall unit, kind of at like a 45 degree angle facing forward. So my partner and I had just worked a day shift one day, and we were both home after work. And I looked over at the wall unit and noticed that the reindeer decoration had been completely turned around. The butt end was facing inwards, like towards us, and the head was towards the wall. I thought, what the hell? I stood and looked in shock, just trying to justify it. Maybe my Malamute turned it around while sniffing it out of curiosity as she investigates all the new items we bring into the house. But this 85-pound dog would have definitely knocked it over. She wouldn't have carefully picked it up and placed it the other way. She would have knocked it over for sure. So I asked my boyfriend if it was him, and he said no. He said, how could I do that when I was at work? I asked him again just to make sure. This happened about 4 more times in a 2-week span, each time puzzling me more and more and freaking me out. Who or what was touching my stuff? Very creepy. My coworkers suggested I record it, put a camcorder out, but I didn't really want to see what was doing this. I started to feel watched, maybe a bit violated, and I didn't really like being in the house alone too much, so I decided to call our local elder to come do a cleansing ceremony in her house. So she cleansed me as well, and she said that the spirit was harmless, a female spirit that enjoys the energy of the house. So I did feel better after that. I mean, at least the spirit was kind. I felt kind of flattered that it liked their home. I felt more peaceful, definitely, after this. So my elder recommended that I move the reindeer to different locations. Maybe she just didn't like that spot. So ever since, nothing strange has happened. Whenever I decorate for Christmas, though, and I bring out that reindeer, I do get kind of an eerie feeling. I speculate that I may have accidentally brought home a spirit or energy in the reindeer decoration. Who knows? This was definitely the wildest thing that's happened to me personally. So, who knows? I have more stories to share. I'll call back soon. We'll love the podcast and keep up the great work.
Thank you for sharing that with us. That's interesting. A reindeer decoration.
Why a reindeer of all things?
I suppose anything could have an attachment to it, but...
that thing right behind you.
There's, I guess of all the things that I would pick, I wouldn't guess the reindeer. There's, when I worked at a radio station in Wichita at KFDI, we, in the attic, there was all of like the remnants of past promotions and things that the station did. And it's a legendary station. It's been around for like 40 some years. It was one of the first country radio stations in the country and one of the most well-known. And it years ago, like in the 70s and 80s, this station would give out to their clients these creepy ass Santa Clauses. And they were, it's like, I've seen them in antique stores and I think I've pointed them out to you before. Mm-hmm. They're very creepy. They're big. They're kind of like, you know, yay size, you know,
yeah.
I guess like Munchkin size from like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And the face on it is just,
I know they're horrible.
It's like rosy cheeks, but he's got this like menacing look on him. Like, I'm going to eat your pets in the middle of the night while I'm going to not eat the cookies and the milk. Your cat's going to be slaughtered and underneath your Christmas tree in the morning next to the rocking horse I brought little Timmy. That's kind of what the Santa Claus looks like.
Merry Christmas, Timmy.
Yeah, exactly.
Cat's dead.
Yeah, and it's just like this nefarious looking thing. And so I always thought like that thing would likely have, you know, something attached to it. Because I don't know, if you look at it, it's just, it emotes fear. It doesn't emote joy and happiness and, you know, goodwill towards all. It's like, what is wrong with the Santa?
Santa?
Yeah. So I could see something like that, but I don't know. The reindeer? I don't know.
Santa? Although I will. Steroids.
Santa on steroids. He'd almost have to be to get his stuff done. Yeah. If it weren't for Santa magic. But I got to say this. It's probably a story I shouldn't tell you, but that's kind of what we do on the show.
La-da-da.
I impart a lot of wisdom to Harper on the air. When I was in high school, and I do not advise doing this, and you probably can't because there's not many malls left anymore. And when you're in high school, there probably won't be any. But the thing was, you go to the mall to see Santa. And I think you've done that. You've done it like at Bass Pro and a couple other places. I don't think we've ever, have we ever done the mall, Santa?
Once.
Okay, yeah. Because a lot of areas we've been in, the malls just haven't really had much. So it's the same sort of theory, same sort of way that they do it at Bass Pro. But Bass Pro does it really well. Mm-hmm. And in the malls, they used to do almost that sort of, that well of a setup. It was really good. And there, but in my mall in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, when the mall existed, they used to do a really great setup on the main stage. They took the stage down, the stage was gone. Then they did this little kind of setup with like, it was just really not the greatest setup. And they had fake reindeer that looked, I don't know the way to describe it. They looked like drug addicts. The reindeer heads were like basically, the reindeer basically were telephone poles, like cut in half telephone poles for the body, which did not make any sense. And then on top was this head, which looked like a character head from like a basketball game or something, like a team mascot. So it was way too big for the body. And they were just decorations. They weren't like, you weren't supposed to like believe they're reindeer. They were just decorations. And there was like six of them surrounding the little rectangle.
I love how it's six.
Santa cube that he was on. And they were almost scary looking. And they were so bizarre. And I think it was honestly probably done locally of like, we got to make it look like this. And then somebody just kind of came up with this and it was like, what did you just make? Well, so we got a deadline. We got to get it done. And then they put it up and it was scary looking.
Reindeer on crack.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. It was very bizarre. They never came back the second year. But the first year they did it, which was like 1998 or so. And I was, I don't know, a sophomore in high school. I was hanging out with some kids at the mall. There's a lot of different kids I was hanging out with. And
gangsters.
No. But there were some kids that would get in trouble. And I was not one of them. But it was like a group of like seven or eight boys. And as we were leaving the mall, because the mall was where you would hang out. It was like, let's go to the arcade. Let's, you know. And we were leaving the mall. And then one of them had the bright idea. As we were walking out, grabbed a reindeer head, ran out of the mall with it, threw it in somebody's trunk. And then we peeled out of there. And I was in a different car, but I saw them throw it into the trunk of like somebody's Chevelle. And it was just, I mean, it was like this old crappy car. And we left. And then they ended up taking it back to somebody's basement. Picture like that 70s show, but this is in the 90s. And then they posed the head in all sorts of horrible ways.
Like what?
They had like the head like drinking beer and other things that I won't go into. And then there was no social media back then. So people would take pictures, but they were like physical pictures. Like you had to go get them developed at like Walgreens. And then those started circulating around the school. And I remember getting called down to the principal's office because there was a security camera at the mall. And the security camera identified different people. And then they looked at it. The high school looked at it because they know these are high school kids. There's only one high school in my town. And the principal knew me from the radio station. I had never gotten in trouble, but they knew me because they knew me. Like I did a live broadcast from my own high school on homecoming and things like that. And I was in the video, but I was not holding the head. I had nothing to do with the head, but I was in that group of people. And I was like, oh God, don't do this. But they did it. And I'm getting called down to the principal's office going, what happened at the mall the other night? Like interrogating me. It was very like police-like. I'm like, I don't know. Like I was at the mall because I didn't do anything. I was not in the vehicle of anybody that did anything. I didn't do anything. And I was not like about to rat out my friends, but I was just like there. I was not next to when this happened. I'm like, I don't know. What are you talking about? Well, what happened with the reindeer head? Like, I have no idea. Like, what are you talking about? And well, what did so-and-so do? Like, I don't know. Like, why are you asking me this? Because I had nothing to do with anything you're talking about. Well, we saw you like, but I wasn't doing any of that, was I? No. Well, then where are you? Well, we have video. Well, then why didn't you talk to the people you see in the video doing this? And they weren't the brightest group of individuals that ran my school. These are the same people I had to expose for not calling out people when there was a hit list and they were trying to play it down. I got the whole of the hit list, gave it to my news director. We broadcast it and they didn't like me ever since.
Were you on the hit list?
No, I wasn't, but I was doing investigative reporting in high school. So, and the high school was just like, they brushed everything off. This is right after Columbine. And I was taking it seriously. So I was like friends with everyone. I didn't have any real enemies. So some of the people that were like kind of on the dark side of things, they would talk to me. And I'm like, can I get a copy of that? I'm like, yeah. And I turned it into my news director. But they didn't like me because I exposed a lot of things that were going on that they weren't taking responsible. So anyway, they tried to, you know, ask me, like, you're getting a lot of trouble. Like, I didn't do anything. You're not on camera doing anything. I know I didn't do anything. But yeah, that's how the head thing went.
Did you ever get in trouble, though?
No. Because I didn't do anything wrong. I never did anything wrong in high school. I worked. I worked at the radio station and I had a little bit of social activity. That was like one of the limited social activities I did, was hanging out with friends every now and then, which was sparse. But yeah, it's good times.
Good times.
So there you go, reindeer head story.
Oh yeah. Can I, instead of the outro, can I just do closing times? We'll see you there again tomorrow.
That's not how the song goes.
The rest of the word.
Closing time. Turn out all the lights out, every boy and everything. That song was popular around that time, by the way. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online and imparting Harper with wisdom. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Closing time.